Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Anthony Brooks, and this is On Point. Now a story from the inner city about the cars of the future. Usually this is a conversation with science geeks at top universities or with auto company engineers who are racing to design and build the next great green car. But guess who's been walking away with some of the top auto design prizes at state and national competition? It's a team of students from rough and tough West Philadelphia High. This isn't just another story about inner city kids doing good. This hour on Point, West Philly's EVX Club and its vision to build your next hybrid car. You can join the conversation. Have you heard of these smart kids and their hybrids that are taking all the prizes? What's your vision for the car of the future? And if this group of students can design the car of the future, why can't Detroit? Listeners, if you're near a computer, you can go and see their website to see the kinds of cars these young people are designing. You can link to their website through ours at onpointradio.org. And joining me now from Philadelphia are two members of West Philly High School's Electro Vehicle X Club, Markia Baylor and Jacquees Wells. Markia and Jacquees, welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
It's great to have both of you. And we're also joined by Simon Hauger. He's their teacher and founder of the EVX Club. And Simon Hauger, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Anthony.
And let me start with you, Simon. This is such a great story, and it's packed with so much. First, there's an inspiring story about these students, two of whom are with you and what they're doing. But there's also a serious conversation here about the cars of the future, and then there's your story. And I want to start a little bit with that. How did you get into this? How did a white guy with hippie parents, I understand, end up teaching auto design to kids in West Philly?
Well, I started off as an electrical engineer. I studied at Drexel University, and Drexel has a co-op program. I realized in my last co-op that I didn't want to sit in a cubicle for the next 20 years designing circuits, and kind of had just a change in what I desired to do. I became a math and science teacher and ended up working in the vocational wing of the school, and very quickly realized that some of the smartest teachers that I've and people that I've learned had the privilege of learning from were actually technical teachers, automotive teachers, as well as the students. So that quickly the idea of everybody needs to go to college evolved into students learn in different ways and adults exhibit intelligence in different ways. And it was really an eye-opening experience for me as a young teacher to work with really, really smart people. But instead of expressing that intelligence in what kind of the traditional way, they were really smart, hands-on folks. And so we looked for ways to bring together the math and science, or I was looking for ways to bring together the math and science that was going on in the school with the automotive learning that was going on in the school, and we started an after-school program. It was the easiest place to do it. We first started within a go-kart that was donated by the electric company for a competition, and the kids took top honors at the science fair. We made an electric go-kart, and that evolved into building an electric vehicle the following year and going to a national competition.
And which competition was that?
The Tour de Sol. Mm-hmm. We entered the Tour de Sol in 2000 with an electric-powered Saturn. And in 2002, we won that competition, beating out top universities and even production vehicles.
So I just want to stop you there because I want to give listeners, you know, a really precise understanding of what we're talking about. Basically, your team took a Saturn automobile, a mass-produced Saturn automobile, and did what to it?
So the Tour de Sol was for alternative. It was a road rally for alternative powered vehicles. And we entered in the electric vehicle category. They had a hybrid vehicle category at that time. They also had a solar vehicle category at that time. And what we did was the students, under the guidance of the teachers, did research around how to make the vehicle as efficient as possible. The Tour de Sol, the scoring structure was such that high efficiency and low pollution maximized the score. And so we researched various technologies that were off the shelf available and looked for things that were outside of the typical electric vehicle market to try to find any advantages that we could. It creates an enormously rich learning experience. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's the focus of the teachers, is that we want a real rich learning experience for the students. And fortunately, we found some industrial drive system that hadn't been used in an electric vehicle before that was the most efficient thing around at the time, and applied it to this unique project, and that gave us that was one of the things that gave us the competitive edge. The Saturn, after it was gutted, we put batteries in every square inch, put this electric drive system in it. During the Tour de Sol competition, it was getting equivalent 180 miles per gallon.
180 miles per gallon.
Yeah. Yes, and so there's a well-established formula to convert electric power use to equivalent gas mileage, and so that was back in 2002. 180 miles per gallon on a 3,400 pound car. After we had packed every square inch, you know, the vehicle was quite heavy. We could only afford lead acid batteries at that time. And so there's even more room for improvement in that vehicle.
So this program eventually develops into something called the EVX Club. Can you tell us how it works and who your students are?
Yes, the students are students that are in the Automotive Academy, which is the vocational program of the high school. We have an annex building, so the school day is a typical school day, except instead of taking, I don't know, business electives, the students take automotive electives. They get all their academic classes. And then the easiest way to do this is as an after-school program. It's very difficult to, in the way the school day and the credit system is structured in Philadelphia, to do a project like this during the school day. So we developed it as an after-school program. And it's on a voluntary basis. Students that are interested come hang out after school, and we kind of brainstorm around the ideas of what do we want to do, what competitions do we want to get involved in, and from there, design a vehicle.
Well, I want to talk to a couple of your students. Jacques Wells is with you, and Markia Baylor. Jacques, let me start with you. What attracted you to this program? How did you get involved in the EVX Club there in West Philly?
Well, ever since I was real young, I've always been fascinated with cars and, like, the way they work or whatever. It was mostly the way they looked, but as I got older, I started to, like, you know, take a look at the way they ran. And my brother was also a part of the West Philly High Automotive Academy. And when I got involved in it, I was just trying to learn as much as I can about the way cars ran. And then I was introduced to the EV team, where we actually converted a Volkswagen Jetta to biodiesel. And this was in my ninth grade year.
Wow.
So since
ninth
then,
grade. You did this in ninth grade?
Yes.
That's amazing. And so what are you doing now, Jacques? What's your role on the EVX Club?
Oh, well, I actually took part in the design of the website and also do a lot of research about hybrid technologies.
I see. And I'm curious to know, when you look at cars that are zooming around the streets of Philadelphia or anywhere around the U.S., what do you see? I mean, what do you want to improve? What kind of car do you want to build?
Well, I would like to build a car that looks nice and gets great gas mileage. So that's why I'm on the EVX team, because a lot of cars now, they look nice, they can go fast or whatever, but it's only for a certain amount of time, because after a while, the gas depletes and it pollutes the environment. So I want to see more cars that give off less emissions and can still go just as far on, you know, a little bit of gas.
Well, Jacques, let me bring Markia Baylor in. She's a 12th grade student there at West Philly High School. Markia, your focus is on marketing for this project. Is that right?
Yes.
And tell me, same question to you. How did you get involved in this? What attracted you to this program?
Well, I like the basic start of how the team got together as a whole. And I just wanted to be a part of the team because I felt as though I could make a difference in my community and the environment. And I could also play a role in younger children's lives so they can see that it's not all bad things that come out of urban areas.
And is it something particular about cars and automotive design that attracts you? I mean, is there something that excites you about that?
Well, I like cars in general. I like I'm more of a, like, an old-fashioned car type person. I like older-looking cars, like old Chevys and things like that.
Okay.
So that's basically, and that's how, I just like the way the cars looks. I really don't get into all the, how they run and all of that damn much.
So, Simon Hauger, now you guys are gunning for the Automotive X Prize. This is a major competition with a $10 million purse. You're competing against 120 teams, 17 countries, 28 states. What does your team bring that, say, teams from MIT or other top colleges and universities around the country? How do you compete against them?
That's a great question. So just a little bit more context. We developed a car that won the electric Saturn won the 2002 Tour de Seoul. At that time, there's 41 competitors from around the country. In 2005 and 2006, the car that's gotten the most publicity was a hybrid sports car. The team at that point wanted to challenge the stereotypes of what a hybrid car could look like and drive like.
This is the K1 Attack, right?
The K1 Attack. So it's a very attractive car.
Yeah.
The company that makes the bodies named the body Attack, and we call it the hybrid Attack. And it was a really novel idea, and it's, I think that's one of the advantages, to answer the question, that we bring to the table. High school students always think outside the box. Lots of times they come up with wild ideas that aren't we are not able to implement, but because they bring that aspect to the team, they see things that adults don't see.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about West Philadelphia High School's Auto Club, which has been walking away with awards for years for best hybrid car, not just designing them, but actually building them. And my guests are Markia Baylor and Jacquees Wells, members of the West Philly High School's EVX team, and their teacher is Simon Hauger. And Simon, before the break, we were talking about what your team brings to auto design that sometimes adult designers miss, and I find that really intriguing. I'd love to sort of hear a specific example or two.
Sure. The hybrid Attack is one of the concrete examples. At the time in 2003, when we brainstormed around what our next vehicle should be, we came off the win at the Tour de Seoul, and interestingly enough, the kids really felt like we could do anything at that point. And as a teacher, that's a wonderful feeling. And so we threw the idea around. They thought that the Honda Insight and the Toyota Prius were wonderful vehicles. They were really a step in the right direction. They had just recently been rolled out. They were at the Tour de Seoul. And their question is, why weren't they more popular? And so as we brainstormed around that idea and about what our next vehicle should look like and drive like, this idea of a badass hybrid, essentially, is how they termed it. I'm hoping I'm allowed to say that on NPR.
I think that's okay. We've heard worse in relatively
okay,
recently,
good,
so
good.
We're okay.
So that idea was a really unique idea, and the adults kept thinking of hybrid technology, us being the adults and the automotive industry, is only to improve fuel economy. And the real use of the electric motor in that vehicle was for blazing acceleration. We wanted something ridiculously fast that looked great and still was environmentally friendly. It wasn't going to be able to get the Uber mileage that you would need for the XPRIZE competition, but we could use the hybrid technology to make the car fast. And so that was one of the first, you know, real big ideas that we saw. That's a good example. There's also lots of little ideas. So as we brainstorm around the XPRIZE vehicle that we're developing, the things that the students keep bringing back to the tables is that this vehicle has got to be affordable. If we want to win the XPRIZE, we can't build a car that the mass, that folks in the city can't afford. It has to be an affordable vehicle, and it has to look good. And I think they're on to something. I think that some of our competition have fantastic vehicles for the XPRIZE, and it's really exciting to see how the XPRIZE is bringing publicity to these new technologies and new vehicles. However, the time will tell if they're before their time. I think several of the vehicles, and I think the kids are right here, are before their time. And this vehicle, the American public has a threshold of what's acceptable.
Hmm.
Another interesting idea that came out of the students' experience, Jacquees works for the fleet offices. He does part-time work as a fleet mechanic for the city. and this idea of we should market our vehicle for the X Prize to fleets and the advantages that brings. And that was a really interesting idea that, again, adults, we can get stuck in a certain mindset, and kids often just see things differently.
Well, let me ask, let me bring you back into the conversation, Jack Weiss Wells. I should have mentioned you're a member of the EVX team. You're in the 11th grade. Let me ask you the same question. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but, you know, I asked Simon Gauger, what do people like you, younger folks, see that, you know, maybe the experienced autumn designers might miss? Can you sort of chime in and give me an example there?
Well, young people, like Mr. Hager said, think outside of the box, and sometimes they have suggestions that, you know, an average auto designer wouldn't really think of, like certain ways to design a vehicle or certain fuels to power it, to power the vehicle or whatever.
Sure.
And it's just like they have opinions that are sometimes off the wall, but sometimes they work out a lot better than it seems as though they would.
Hmm. Can you think of an example, though, in the sort of the experience you've had in the EVX team in the last sort of, I don't know, few months or year where, you know, some great idea bubbled up from you guys and might not have been there without you? Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot. It's just, it's such a great theme, and I just had to pursue it. Listen, hang on to that question, Jack Weiss. We'll come back to it because I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us in the studio right now is Ryan Chin. He's a member of the MIT Media Lab Smart Cities Group, and he's a close watcher and designer of green cars. And Ryan Chin, great to have you.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for sitting patiently and listening to this. First of all, I have to ask you, I mean, this is your field. Have you heard about these guys in West Philly and what they've been doing?
Yes, absolutely. Read the articles, big fan. Saw you guys on the documentary as well on TV. I really, really am inspired by the great work that you guys have done.
Well, you know, I started the segment off, and there's sort of two ways you can look at this story. This is, you know, a great story about young people who come from a world with less privilege having a great opportunity to do something like this. But it's also a story about designing serious cars, and that's what I want to ask you about. Are they on to something here?
Oh, yes, most definitely. In fact, a lot of the great ideas are right out of the box. I think it's really a grassroots movement in a way. A lot of the folks in Detroit have been struggling with a lot of policy issues, government regulation. So it's very consistent of them to think within the box. So this out-of-box thinking, grassroots movement, just kids just doing it with some guidance, obviously, is the way to go. And eventually you'll make headway because of the press and because of news that you make. And that's really one way to push it from the ground up.
Hmm. Let's take a couple of calls. Bob is calling from Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hi. Oh, thank you. I'm very impressed. I'm a retired science teacher, and I'm the gentleman. His name is Hager.
Yes, Simon Hager. He's joining us.
Oh, he's doing hands-on. You know, hands-on is the best way to learn. I don't care what you're doing. Hands-on is great, and I'm impressed with these kids. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
He seems to be favoring hybrid over all electric. That's the impression I'm getting. I'm wondering what he thinks about an all-electric vehicle, and what are his ideas about the kinds of batteries? Is he going to be using, or is he using a lithium-ion battery, or does he have ideas of a new type of battery pack?
All right, Bob, great question. Simon Hager, can you enlighten Bob?
Well, I don't know if I can enlighten him. So we were also invited into the Model T, the 21st Century Challenge this summer, where a group of 15 students designed what we were proposing could be the Model T for the 21st century. And I absolutely agree. In long-term solution is all electric. The infrastructure is not here yet. And the kids did some wonderful research in the summer program around that and uncovered what Shai Agassi is doing in Project Better Place, which is fascinating. We're really interested to see what happens in Israel and Denmark around that project. But ultimately, when you have the infrastructure in place, whenever the administration and or whoever else needs to support it, the automotive manufacturers, all electric is the way to go. The limits obviously are if you're going to plunk down $20,000 for a vehicle you want it to be able to go 500 miles if you feel like doing that, even though 80% of the time you're going to use it, 40 miles typically is the daily commute. You still want to have the capacity. And I think that folks have shown that people will be reluctant to put down that amount of money for a vehicle that can't have the range. And so once the infrastructure is there to support the range, and there's a number of creative ways to do it, and Shai Agassi is one of the leaders in that field, we would 100% be on board with all electric.
Hmm. Ryan Chin, let me ask you the same question if you want to sort of respond to Bob's. And I should say that Ryan's brought in some amazing pictures that of an all-electric car that you're in the process of – you're right on the verge of rolling it out, actually.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
Can you describe what we're seeing? This is a car that is all electric, and it actually folds up.
Correct.
So when you want to park it, for example.
Yeah, that's a piece of out-of-box thinking. We had a lot of kids in our group who thought, oh, well, there's no space in the city. How can we fit this car? Can we fold it? And, of course, that's a ridiculous question to ask a mechanical engineer from a big automobile manufacturer. But, we were very hands-on, and we started to build this thing. The vehicle itself is an all-electric vehicle, shared use, so it's not private. And to respond to the long-term...
When you say shared use, so this would be like a zip car model?
Correct.
I see.
Correct. So you don't own the vehicle. You just use it whenever you need it. And the idea is very similar to the Paris bicycle sharing system, where you pick up a bicycle and you drop it off at another station. So when you're in the city, you might not want to own a vehicle. In fact, it's the prices here in Boston is the second highest in the country for parking. So it's one of the key determiners of whether you drive or not. So our strategy is to build this electric vehicle that you can pick up and drop off anywhere and then combine it with mass transit. Absolutely, it makes sense in the long run to get into an electric infrastructure for the vehicle charging infrastructure. And the big challenge is the range issue. We've solved that issue by having the vehicles have very short range. And every time you stop the vehicle, you charge them electrically in the grid. So we can grow the network in a very viral and organic way.
What do you think of that, Simon Hager? Do you like what you hear?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think there's a number of solutions to the infrastructure issue, and I agree 100% with Ryan that they're not going to come from the top down. That they're the grassroots movements, and we demonstrated something similar, and we're huge fans of. We have Philly Car Share in Philadelphia, which ties into the public transit system as well. I think that's another part of the solution. Our main focus, however, and me as an educator, we're really focused on the XPRIZE, and that's one part of the solution, or creating viable 100-mile-per-gallon vehicles for now. But I think that this is an extraordinarily important part of the conversation is how do we push that limit and really look for what other things need to be in place so that we could have all-electric vehicles.
We have a lot of callers standing by, but I want to just ask Jacques and Marquia one question each, because I want to keep them in the conversation. Marquia Baylor, tell me, how is this program viewed by other students? In other words, are you guys sort of viewed as geeks, or, is it cool what you're doing? I mean, how do the other students at West Philly High view what you're doing?
Well, the majority of them view us as geeks. But I wouldn't consider the program to be just for geeks only, because I'm not the typical geek, but I would be considered a geek, but I'm not the typical, as you would see me, geek. But it just all has to do with the person's mindset, and if they really want to get into something that's so widespread as the EVX team.
Yeah. And Jacques, same question to you. How do your friends view what you're doing? I mean, is this something that they look up to you to, or do you have to sort of separate from a feeling of, why are you spending your time doing that?
Well, my friends have viewed me for geek since I was in the kindergarten, so it's nothing new to me. But I don't know, I kind of think they're jealous, maybe, because being on an EVX team, it opens up a lot more opportunities than as you were just a normal everyday student, because, we have a lot of publicity event, like public events that we have to show up to. So, we typically sometimes get time off school, and other students don't like that when, you're excused from class all day and they're not. So, yeah, I think it's a jealousy issue most of the time, but they learn to deal with it. So, it's not hurting my feelings.
Mm. Simon, I asked that question just because sometimes, fairly or unfairly, it seems like when you're dealing with student populations in places like West Philly, you're dealing with this sense that it's not cool to be really good at something. And I'm just wondering if you encounter—I mean, at school, that is. And I'm just wondering if you encountered that challenge or if that is an unfair characterization that was sort of vaporized by this project.
I think that's unfair characterization. Even before the EV team, I was impressed, and Marquis and Jacques Weiss can chime in on this, but in my classes, the kids brag when they get an A on the test. Mm. You know, they want to show off that. And I think that, you know, as a new teacher with some stereotypes, that was one of the things that shocked me early on. In terms of being geeks, you know, the idea of what a geek is in West Philly is slightly different than what a lot of the listeners might think of. You know, I think that they get extra attention from their classmates. In some ways, the adults and some of the students, depending on who they're speaking to, I actually think they see it as a status symbol being on the EV team.
Hmm. Well, let's take a call. Miriam is calling from Salt Lake City. Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Anthony. Just got a couple quick comments, and they're all good. First of all, I'm a graduate of Overbrook High, which is West Philly High's rival, and that was like 30-some years ago. But I am so thrilled and so proud to hear about this program. All you generally hear about inner-city schools are how bad they are, how violent they are, gangs, drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really nice to hear something good other than a basketball player or Will Smith.
Hear.
And you know, kudos, Simon, to drop your career to go into teaching, which is underpaid and underappreciated, and, you know, in a high populous inner city school, you know, that is just awesome. And kids, I can't remember your names.
Jacques and Marquia.
Thank you, Jacques and Marquia. You know, if you are representative of the upcoming generation, I think America has a chance.
Well, Miriam, thanks so much. I think those are great sentiments to leave on the table here. And in that spirit, Jacques, let me ask you, is this something that, you know, after you graduate from school that you think you're going to stick with? Can you imagine yourself ending up in Detroit or maybe in Europe working for an auto design firm?
Well, hopefully, because automotives is something that I really would consider making a career out of. That's why I'm still on the EV team and work part-time for the city of Fleet, for the Office of Fleet Management. So I'm really interested in automotives, and I would like to stick to it even after I graduate out of high school.
Hmm. What about you, Marquia?
No, this is not the career that I would like to take.
Is that right? Why not?
I'm just not the big car, like supercar fan like Jacques is. I'm more into my books more than anything. I like hands-on things, but I would rather much be in like a science field or engineering or something.
I see. But a program like this, I'm sure, will help you get there.
Yes.
This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the future of the automobile with two high school students who are on the cutting edge in green automobile design. My guests are Marquia Baylor and Jacques Wells, members of the West Philly High School EVX team, their teacher, Simon Hauger, and Ryan Chin of the MIT Media Lab. And Ryan, it just occurs to me as I've been listening to this conversation with these young people and with Simon, we're talking about how to power cars, we're talking about fuel economy, we're talking about green technology, battery technology. What else should we sort of be talking about when we think about designing a car of the future? Can you give Jacques and Marquia maybe some other ideas?
Sure, definitely. I think one of the things that's external to the car is how this is fit into the environment. And the big question is this a city car? Is it a rural vehicle? Is it a suburban vehicle? And that plays into the big picture. One of the things that people don't think a lot about is that we can improve our energy efficiency overall by taking mass transit, for example, or fitting more people into vehicles. So you have car sharing or carpooling.
Or carrying less stuff in your car.
Carrying less things. You know, of course, there's also things like material research, finding new materials that make the car much more lightweight. You know, re-architecting, basically, the overall vehicle itself. I think these are all things that we can think about. I mean, there are also things that are tangential, like thinking about better bus systems and lightweight rail, for example. These are all ways to move people and goods in the space of the city, in which is where most people live these days. I think we want to expand that question and that scope, because then you can really think of synergistic opportunities between, say, the car and the rest of the infrastructure that's around it.
Mm. Simon Hager, are those kinds of concerns part of the EVX team's sort of thinking?
We did do some research around that during the summer program for the car of the 21st century. For the Ford Model T Challenge. However, for the X Prize, it's pretty focused on what the goals of that competition are. And our feeling is that we need to use affordable off-the-shelf technology and create a safe vehicle that's usable for now to win that particular competition.
Hmm. Let's get some calls. Leroy is calling from Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Leroy.
Hello, Anthony.
You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I've been listening to all the stuff that's going on with the economy and with the new administration that's coming in, and they're competing for the X Prize. But my thought would be, instead of GM getting $25 billion, what would they do if the new administration and whoever replaces Paulson looked at education and gave them $1 billion?
Interesting. Simon Hauger, yeah. I mean, one of the things that strikes me in reading about your project is I gather you don't have a huge budget. You're counting on cars being donated that you have to sort of retrofit. Can you sort of respond to Leroy? I don't know what the direct question. What would you do with $1 billion?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd retire. I'm done. We would all go party. Actually, apparently that's what they do too.
For years.
Yes. So, that's a pretty difficult question to answer, but we do run on a very small budget, and just to kind of echo what Ryan was saying earlier, when you empower these grassroots efforts where folks are already thinking outside the box, where they're not hamstrung by bureaucracies and all the other things, I think that it would be a very interesting scenario, not only from an education standpoint, but from really bringing innovative technology and available technology in innovative ways to market quickly. And I hope that the X Prize is successful in doing that. But also, as Ryan is saying, we need to look farther beyond that. And it would be wonderful. It would be absolutely amazing if this new administration embraced some of that innovative spirit that the X Prize embodies to bring groups like Ryan's group and our group and empower us even further.
Mm. Let's go to Rick, who's calling from Boston. Hi, Rick.
Yes, hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Rick. What do you know?
My compliments to the team of students and to this teacher and what they're pursuing. My question is, it seems like I'm wondering, do you think there's a correlation between the interest in alternative vehicles and the price of oil? And as the price of oil is now plummeting, do you think it will take the edge off of it, of this? Because we've heard this before, you know, under Carter and et cetera. And wouldn't that be a good strategy by the oil industry to just to nix this before it gets off the ground?
Hmm. What do you think, Ryan? Can we keep the momentum for hybrids going when the price and, you know, electric cars while the price of oil plummets?
Well, the fluctuation is going to be there. I mean, just look at the price of oil, the stock market going up and down, you know, 500 points here, 400 points there every other day. I think there's a real uncertainty. But I think the other thing is that now it's extremely cool to be green. It wasn't the case 5 years ago. And just to echo back on this comment about being a geek, I mean, there's this thing called nerd pride at MIT, and I would strongly encourage you guys to just apply because this is a place where it is very hands-on and multidisciplinary. And in fact, one of our designers is from Philadelphia as well. And I think one of the key issues is how do we get that momentum going? And the cool factor is one thing for sure. The other is that more and more people are moving from certain disciplines into environmental engineering, environmental design. So I think if we keep that grassroots thing going. But we also need top-down help, too. We need the administration to increase spending when it comes to education, the educational research, both at the university level and especially at the secondary and high school level, has dropped over the last 40 years or so. So we're really scraping away. They're also cutting back on things like research to NASA as well. So putting investment into innovation really starts at young at the young people level, and I think that's really going to be a key.
Simon, I hear you chiming in there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I'm sorry. Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, that it's very short term not to do that, and I can't agree more with what Ryan just said.
Simon, I want to ask you about another theme that, that came up in the article. And by the way, I want to mention to listeners, there's a great story about your program and about your students in the current issue of Rolling Stone that you can link to from our website, onpointradio.org. And they told a sort of troubling tale about prejudice that you encountered when you entered the electric Jeep that your students designed and you took to the state science fair. Can you tell me what happened?
The short version was early on that our students, you know, they don't look like your typical science fair winners. They don't talk like your typical science fair winners. And we went to the state level. This was early on in my career. And they didn't get a fair shake. And that happens, unfortunately. That happens.
What happened was I guess the judges came to you and were impressed with the vehicle, but they said, we know your kids didn't do this, right?
Yes, yes. And so it created some frustration for me. The way the state science fair competition's held is the teachers are not on the floor, so we didn't find out till after the whole day event. And they rated the kids fifth out of, I think it was 15 projects. So if the kids didn't do it, they should have gotten last or been disqualified. So, but I don't see that happening as much anymore. One of the great things about the XPRIZE competition and our current our most recent vehicles are people are taking us seriously. And even if we don't win the XPRIZE, I feel like in many ways we've already won. Our students have a voice on a national level to be a part of this conversation. And they're bringing great ideas to the table. They want to affect when we do focus groups and brainstorming. They want to have an effect on the environment. One of the kids did a survey. How many people do you know that have asthma? And it kind of blew us away that if they didn't have asthma, somebody in their family did or a close friend did. And thinking about what are the other direct effects that having a voice in this arena will have.
Mm. Jack Weiss-Wells, I want to just ask you sort of follow up on what I was just talking to Simon about. Do you feel like you guys are getting respect out there that you deserve? I mean, has the sort of atmosphere changed in a way that's positive for you?
Well, yeah, all the attention that we've been getting from the media has all been positive. Like all of the events that we go to, people come up and, like, if we have the K1 Attack there, they see the car. Sometimes they don't want to believe that high school students build it. But, like, you know, as we explain to them, like, what we had to go through, they respect us as if we were the scientists that with a $1 billion budget to build this high-class car. But we're only a high school, and they give us the same respect. So, yeah, I think a lot of things have changed.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Let's take another call. Hank is calling from Morrisville, Vermont. Hi, Hank.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. This is probably one of the happiest programs you've had in a while. congratulations to the kids, and take the football and run with it, you know. It's great what you're doing, and I had to change what I wanted to say quite a bit, but I say, heck yeah, we should stop giving the oil industry subsidies and give it to the kids instead, because our kids and I are not invested in enough. And we federally mandate schools, and we only provide like 8% of the money that goes to that. Then also, I think the electric car is a great thing, but right now with all the coal-burning plants and stuff, they're equally as bad as gas-powered cars because the power's got to come from somewhere. And also, we should try to mandate box stores to put solar panels on them, and we wouldn't have to take up any more room in our country with as many people we have.
All right, well, Hank, let's stick with the automotive point you make. I'm intrigued by your point about electric cars being sources of pollution. Ryan Chin, can you sort of respond to that idea? I mean, are we going down the wrong path for efficient and green technology by pursuing electric?
It's a good question. It really depends. If you are using a coal-burning power plant for the main primary source...
To charge the car.
To charge the car. Right. You're not doing that well, but it is a little bit better than having it distributed in the vehicle. You can obviously clean or filter the coal at the power plant, but that's not the key issue. The key issue is whether you can tap into renewables. In the coal realm, you want to sequester the CO or the carbon. Unfortunately, the government has sort of not put a lot of emphasis on coal sequestration, for example. The other alternative is to build nuclear, for example, a great source of energy, not 100% renewable. And then solar is the ultimate solution. Solar and wind and everything that sort of is 100% renewable, that's the key. But we haven't scaled up, and that the key is to really get to that level.
Hmm. Let's take another call. Chris is calling from Norfolk, Virginia. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Anthony. This is... Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was wondering if the XPRIZE committee or whatever had other fuel sources in mind, such as hydrogen.
Hmm. Well, let me put that question to Simon Hauger. Simon, what are you guys thinking of other sources of fuel, also, you know, in the context of the previous caller and what Ryan was just saying about electric?
Yeah, so that there's two parts to that. The electric issue is I think one of the exciting things as we move to more of an electric infrastructure that will open up avenues to reconsider how do we generate the additional energy that we need. And there's other countries that are ahead of us. Germany's been doing is a leader in solar power. So there's folks that we can learn from out there. In terms of renewable fuels, there's some really attractive fuels that are ready right now. Biodiesel is fantastic, and there's a whole debate around the food source. There's great research going on to push that away from food sources and finding more efficient means of getting biodiesel. I run 100% biodiesel in my car right now. I just think it's a wonderful fuel. We're looking at using biodiesel in the XPRIZE. There's been developments around biobutanol, which is another wonderful replacement for gasoline. You don't need to modify the engine. So the short answer is the XPRIZE allows attention to be brought to innovation that's occurring right now, and I think really helps to spur it on.
Mm. Chris, thanks for the call. And I think we have time for one last call. Let's go to John, who's calling from Salt Lake City. Hi, John.
Hello, Anthony. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I would like to ask is how the students are sharing their work. For example, are they using open source tools that are available for other people to download their files and see how they're doing these things, using open formats like open document format for the materials or perhaps some of the GNU CAD or other tools like that, so that others can participate in the work as well and learn from what they have already learned?
That's a great...
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, John. Thanks so much for the call. Jack Weiss, John wants to know if you're sharing the technology with others. Is there a way that you folks are doing that?
Well, yeah, we pretty much record all of our progress on our website. That's www.evxteam.org. All of our past accomplishments and what we plan on doing for the Automotive XPRIZE can be found on the website. And I believe the summer program where we build the 100% electric vehicle, that can be found on the website as well. And, you know, all of the all of our resources and sponsors or whatever, like anything that like anyone would need to know about that our team is on the website. You can find it on
all right,
our website.
Well, and you can our listeners can link to that website through our website, onpointradio.org. Simon Hauger, I want to sort of end this hour with a final question to you. I understand you're leaving the West Philly High School Auto Club, I mean the EVX Club. Where are you going next? What happens? And what happens to the EVX team with you on your way out?
So this is a chance for me to plug my new employer. No.
If you like.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue. I have been continuing to work with the team after school. I'm also working for an organization called Big Picture Schools to start a new school in Philadelphia that's much more project-based. Kind of like what Markia was referring to earlier, she's not a car a huge car fan, but she participates, and there's so much tremendous learning. So it doesn't have to be cars from the educational aspect. There's project-based learning is just such a rich learning experience, and this organization moves that into the school day so that it'll affect more students. But yeah, I'm committed to the long term to make sure that we do very well in the X Prize, and it's wonderful to be able to work with the kids in this on a project like this.
Well, Simon Haggard, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this experience and this project with us. It's been a great hour and inspirational in many ways. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Jack Weiss Wells, thank you for joining us. And Markia Baylor, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Jack Weiss Wells and Markia Baylor, they're both students and members of the EVX team at West Philadelphia High School. And we heard from Simon Haugger, founder and team director of the school's EVX team. We've also been joined by Ryan Chin. He's a member of MIT's Media Lab Smart Cities Group. Ryan, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You can continue the conversation and download an On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.